Thank you for coming. We'll start now. So we spoke yesterday of Srila Prabhupada's plan. Actually, he was preaching in India for some years. And then, without much apparent success, and so one of his plans, he had many plans, of course, was to come to the West, make devotees, and then bring them back and demonstrate to the Indians that this culture is for everyone, and that because they were fond of imitating the Western ways, they would also imitate the devotees, becoming how they became devotees. So Srila Prabhupada's plan was very, very successful. Indians were thrilled to see the devotees that he made. Westerners in traditional Vaishnava dress. And even today in India, we find so many people who approach us and are curious and are surprised and pleasantly surprised that we've taken up their own culture. So Srila Prabhupada actually did a great deal of preaching to the upper class in India before he came. And that laid the ground for work from when he returned to have many, many programs, huge, huge Pandal programs, arranged through persons like this gentleman here, Hans Raj Gupta, the mayor of Delhi, receiving Srila Prabhupada getting off the airplane when he arrived in Delhi. This is November 1971. At this time, there's the war with Pakistan going on. And Delhi every night had a blackout. So we were staying in an ashram, and Srila Prabhupada would lecture in the evenings before the Pandal started. He would lecture in the evenings by candlelight. Very wonderful time listening to Srila Prabhupada by candlelight. And here he's giving an address right when he arrives off the airplane. They had set up an outside program for him. His books are displayed. And here we are at the second very, very large Pandal program. This lasted for 10 days. Here the mayor again is introducing Srila Prabhupada. And tens of thousands of people again came. It was held in the center of Delhi at the LIC grounds. I think that means Life Insurance Corporation. And Gurudas Prabhu arranged for different speakers every night. Before Srila Prabhupada spoke, there would be an expert in his particular field speaking. There would be a scientist, there was a businessman, there was an educator, and so on in different fields. And after they spoke, Srila Prabhupada would speak about what they said, basically, and connect it to Krishna. And of course, they did some of that also. But Prabhupada described those different professions in terms of their connection with Krishna consciousness. And it was interesting, at every one of these big Pandals, there were deities that were first worshipped at the Pandal. And Prabhupada considered them installed automatically just because they were worshipped at the Pandal. These particular deities went to the Bhaktivedanta Manor, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And here, another result of Srila Prabhupada's preaching before he came, the chief minister of UP, Uttar Pradesh, was the chief guest that evening. And you may have heard some of the famous Delhi kirtans on tape. Achyutananda Swami, Dinanath Prabhu, and Yamuna Devi were leading those Delhi kirtans. That's Gargamuni on the right, and devotee from Brazil on the left, Panchajanya, myself in there, and Bhavananda in the back. I think that's Giriraj way in the back with the glasses. And again, huge, huge crowds every night, just thrilled to see the devotees. Nandakumar was the pujari. He was Srila Prabhupada's servant during this time. This is a very historic moment. This is when Srila Prabhupada arrives at Radha Damodar Temple, and he's greeted by Gaurachand Goswami, the Goswami at Radha Damodar Temple. And it was a very wonderful reception. Srila Prabhupada coming home and bringing the first time he had brought large numbers of disciples. Of course, he came here before with one disciple, Kirtanananda Swami. But here he's bringing a whole troop. This is November 71. After the Delhi Pandal, Srila Prabhupada very kindly took us to Vrindavan for the first tour. He took us all over Vrindavan. I remember we were riding in a bus going there, and it was the first time we'd been to, many devotees had been to the Dham. We had been there earlier, as mentioned before last night. By this time, I was initiated, and Vishakha Devi and myself were married here in Vrindavan at this time. And one of the attendees at our wedding was Radhanath Swami, who had been there. He'd met Srila Prabhupada in March 1971 at the big Bombay Pandal. Srila Prabhupada called him out of the crowd, and then he went back to the Himalayas, then came down again because he heard Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. This was November. This was some months later. This is a portrait outside his rooms at Radha Damodar. You notice some stuff on both sides, right and left of the frame. These are some of the challenges of filming in India in those days. It's actually fungus that had grown on the lens itself in the camera. So that we could have zoomed in a little bit and avoided that, but that would have cropped the picture, so I just decided to leave it. There's baby Saraswati again, listening attentively. She was still preaching wherever she went. And Srila Prabhupada, we would walk the streets of Vrindavan. It was such a wonderful time. He was very, very happy to introduce his disciples to Vrindavan. And people were amazed at the kirtans. They'd never heard kirtans quite like this. Beautiful still picture from very small frame, film frame, transferred to video and then captured still picture. Beautiful shot. Here we are at Brahmandagat. This is where Mother Yasoda looked in Krishna's mouth for dirt and saw the universe. And this is Srila Prabhupada explaining just when she saw the universe. And this was a ghat, Brahmanda ghat, so he invited all his devotees to bathe. And he was very happily watching them. He declined to come in at first. But then he decided to join us. There's Vishakha Devi on the left taking pictures. I mentioned last night that she was brought up an atheist, but Prabhupada asked, when she came to India, she wanted to do a photographic essay in an Indian village. So Srila Prabhupada recommended we go to Vrindavan, and that's where she became a devotee. And later on, Srila Prabhupada heard that she was an atheist before, and he asked her, how did you become a devotee? She said, it was by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada answered, he said, no, it was by Krishna's mercy. So, of course, we understand both things are there. And we had Harinam through the streets, Dinanath Prabhu again, great Kirtaniya. And we visit many temples. Here, one of the pujaris is showing us some paintings and hoping we would buy something. They were always very eager to receive us when they saw all the Westerners. And they were, of course, you know, they were eager for dakshin. Srila Prabhupada would never give that much. He would give, here he's giving 5 rupees. But actually that was worth quite a bit in those days, almost $1. And we carry Srila Prabhupada around, especially Varshana, which was quite hilly. And the temple in Varshana is quite a steep climb. This is Govardhan, Srila Prabhupada getting the massage. There's a well-known picture taken after his massage. He bathed afterwards and then he sat down and said his Gayatri. So he's sitting and saying Gayatri and there's a wall in back of him. This was his servant at that time. I believe his name is Rohini Nandan. Again through the streets of Vrindavan. This is at Radhakund. You can see Vishakha Devi has 3 cameras. Usually we carried one with black and white film, one with color film. And here we are in Jaipur. Srila Prabhupada was received very, very nicely in Jaipur by Gayatri Devi, who was the queen. And she actually gave us quarters in the palace grounds. And we were very close to Govindaji Temple. Every morning we would go to Mangal Arati and we'd see hundreds of people rushing through the streets, running through the streets to get to Mangal Arati on time. It was amazing. It still goes on today. Such enthusiasm. So Srila Prabhupada's taken in a procession through the streets. And we heard that Gayatri Devi confided in Srila Prabhupada quite a bit during his stay about the difficulties of her position, and her duties and responsibilities as queen. And actually, just back to Jaipur, here again was another very big program, and the deities that were installed here went to New York. They were Radha Govinda deities. When those deities arrived in New York, the devotees wanted to make some adjustment on the face of Govinda. Srila Prabhupada heard about that. He said, once they're installed, once they're worshipped, there should be no change. In Mayapur, this is the first Gaur Purnim festival, March 1972. This sign caused a bit of controversy because you can see Prabhupada in very big letters at the bottom. Some of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers took exception to the fact that he accepted the title of Prabhupada because, of course, this was the title of his Guru Maharaj also. There's a couple of stories in our DVD series that indicate that Srila Prabhupada took that title, to remember his spiritual master. Ranjit Prabhu tells of one time seeing Srila Prabhupada. He went to his room, paid obeisances, and then he got up and he said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So he was a little bewildered. So he said, Jai Srila Prabhupada again. And again Srila Prabhupada said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So he could understand that Prabhupada was glorifying his spiritual master. And there's another such story like that also. Originally, Govinda Dasi pretty much very strongly encouraged Prabhupada to take another title besides just Swamiji. Her husband actually wanted to call her Govindaji, So she asked Prabhupada, but that was all right. And Prabhupada said, that is not, Ji is not such a good title. So she said, well, we're calling you Swamiji. Why are we doing that? We want to give you the best title. So Prabhupada said, no, that's all right. But she insisted. She said, you know, we want to call you the best thing. What should we call you? Prabhupada, no, that's all right. Again, she insisted. She was a very strong person. And so Srila Prabhupada finally said, okay. And he gave three choices. And I forget the third one. One was Gurudev, one was Prabhupada, and then the third one. So was it Vishnupad? Okay. So Govindadas, he said, that's three, we need one. What should we call you? So Prabhupada accepted Prabhupada at that time. And this was a very wonderful time in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada resided in the only permanent building at that time was his grass hut. Here he is leaving his hut, going on a morning walk. And this is the hut. This was where the book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, was recorded. There were questions by Brahmatirtha Prabhu, Bob Cohen at the time, who was a Peace Corps worker in India. Somehow or other, he came to the Mayapur Festival. And he sat and had questions for Srila Prabhupada for many days. Prabhupada liked his questions and very kindly answered. I remember one time we were sitting in the hut and one devotee asked, I don't think it was Brahmatirtha, but one devotee asked, what is meant by the separated, Krishna's separated energies? So Srila Prabhupada at that time was drinking a cup of milk. He just held the milk up immediately and said, this is the separated energy of the cow. It was just so beautiful, the answer and the whole atmosphere. And Srila Prabhupada another time said, you can build me the biggest palace, but I prefer to remain here. This was the pandal that was erected for the first festival. Srila Prabhupada invited many of his godbrothers to attend. And he gave initiation. We both, Vishakadevi and I, got Brahminical initiation. Here's Pishima, Srila Prabhupada's sister. She would always be very happy just to sit and be with her brother in his room, wherever he was. And she didn't need to say anything, she just was there. Prabhupada mostly ignored her. Actually, one time we were sitting with him in Calcutta, and Prabhupada looked at us, he said, I don't like to come here. And then he held up his arm and pinched his skin on the arm because of this, the skin connection, bodily connection. But we'll speak later tonight about a very wonderful time he had with his relatives at Radha Govinda Temple. Here's Puri Maharaj from Vishakhapatnam, the Gaudiya Math there, speaking very nicely about Srila Prabhupada. Most godbrothers actually stayed away, and some came. Srila Prabhupada descending the pit to install the Ananta Shesha. Before that was installed, I actually asked Srila Prabhupada if I could take a photograph of the Ananta Shesha. It was very, very small. It was kind of coiled, and it had a emerald on the top of its head. I did take the photo, and I've got to find that in the archive someday. Srila Prabhupada was very, very pleased with the whole arrangement. And then he had us, again, just like in Allahabad, do prasadam distribution every day. There's a story later on, during a festival, Srila Prabhupada saw children fighting off dogs to get the scraps of food left by the leaf plates thrown away by the pilgrims. And tears came to his eyes, and he said, no one should go hungry within a 10-mile radius of the temple. Here's a historic film frame. Tripitaka Swami and Bhavananda Prabhu plowing the fields. You can see those huge rain clouds in the back. This was during one of the rainy season. And the construction of the Lotus Building had begun. This is August, September or so, 1972. Srila Prabhupada had designed, I think Sarabhi Prabhu designed the Lotus Building. It was interesting, Srila Prabhupada was actually criticized for not building a temple first. This was actually a residential building. And we had a temple on the bottom, but devotees living on top. But Srila Prabhupada wanted a place for his disciples to come, so they could come and stay comfortably in the holy dham. And actually at that time, Srila Prabhupada also had plans for the large temple. You could see on that original sign, the first shot of the Mayapur section, there was a large temple. So he had already engaged certain devotees for making plans for that large temple that's going up today. Here we are in Mumbai, Juhu. I was with Srila Prabhupada in his room one morning at the Akash Ganga building, overlooking the ocean in Bombay. And one man came in, and he was shaking, he was nervous, he was sweating, and he looked very uncomfortable. And he offered Srila Prabhupada to buy his plot of land in Juhu. And that was the infamous Mr. N. So the next day, Srila Prabhupada took a taxi. He went with Tamal Krishna Goswami, Shamsundar Prabhu, and myself. We all took a taxi about an hour's drive to Juhu. At that time, Juhu was a very small fishing village, way out of town, not many residents. And near it was a very large, wealthy housing scheme. Many actors from Bollywood lived there. So Srila Prabhupada, when he saw that land, he was very enthusiastic to get it. It was very near Sumati Maharaji's house. She had a house in Juhu. And he used to go to her house and preach to her. He would recite Bhagavatam. So he knew the area, and he knew this piece of land. So he immediately made arrangements to sign an agreement and give 14 lakhs down payment. Actually, the 14 lakhs was the entire price. He gave, I'm not sure how much, first. But it turns out that Mr. N had sold the same property to two other buyers previously, and by legal means forced them off the land and kept their money. So he tried to do this with Prabhupada, and that was his downfall. You don't do this to a pure devotee. It reminded us of the story of King Nriga in the Krishna book. King Nriga gave one cow to two Brahmins, and he had to suffer the result of taking something back from a Brahmin. And it describes that he lost his health, he lost his wealth, and he lost his life, and he had to take birth in a very low species of life. So this seemed to be happening with Mr. N. So Srila Prabhupada had us construct very quickly a residential building in the center, in the courtyard area of a group of apartment buildings, quite old and run down. This is one of them here. But Srila Prabhupada, when he came for several years after that, he would stay in one of the apartments. Finally, we secured one apartment for him. And very soon after moving onto the property, he had a cornerstone laying ceremony. And this was very interesting because it happened so quickly. But Srila Prabhupada knew that once deities are established on the property, it would be very difficult to move for anyone to force us off. So Mrs. Nair attended. Mr. Nair stayed away. And she was on the right, she's on the very far right in the white sari. She was a very pious lady. Here she is garlanding Srila Prabhupada. And then this is Sarabhi Prabhu. He was a designer for the guest house and the temple in Mumbai. He also designed the beautiful Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he didn't design the Lotus Building. I was mistaken about that. But he's getting Diksha after only about 2 weeks in Mumbai, after meeting Srila Prabhupada. He actually met him in Holland before. But he just, when he came to India, he became quite serious and came to the temple. And Srila Prabhupada engaged him immediately in designing the guest house and the temple. He said something very interesting, because Sarabhi was a designer. He said, what is the use of decorating dead bodies? And Sarabhi Prabhu said, no use, Prabhupada. So here's the fire sacrifice for the Cornerstone Lane ceremony. And Srila Prabhupada instructing how to Narayan Prabhu, who was down in the bottom of the pit, how to arrange the bricks around the Anantashesha. And then everybody pitched in to fill in the hole, including all the boys in the area. Actually, the struggle to secure this land was so amazing. Srila Prabhupada asked Giridhar Swami to write a book about it. And that book is coming out very soon. It was a huge, huge struggle. This man, Mr. N, caused so much problems and so much anxiety for so many people, including Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada would not let it go, even though his disciples at one point gave back the deed to the property on the advice of their lawyers. And it turns out the lawyers were in, you know, scheming against both parties to get more money, to extract more money. So this is the cornerstone ISKCON Bombay Center, laid on Ram Navami Day, March 23rd, I believe. Actually, just a few more words about this time. Mr. Nair, as we said before, Mr. N, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, became very financially stressed, and in very poor health. And then finally he passed away. At that time, Srila Prabhupada was in New Zealand. And Srila Kirti Prabhu recalls that when Srila Prabhupada heard news of his passing, he put his hands together and said, Jai Nisringadev. So when I met Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, I was in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada did a tour of South India. I came to Calcutta to meet him, and I was secretary in Bombay, holding down the temple while many devotees in Srila Prabhupada were on tour. I got out of my taxi at night, I looked up at Prabhupada's room, and he was in the balcony. He motioned for me to come up. So I came up to his room, and he started talking about the Bombay project. And then he started talking about Mr. N. And he said, the man was such a rascal that I prayed to Lord Nisringadev that he be punished. And when he said that, I was stunned. And so indeed, if it's true that Lord Nisringadev punished him, that is his great benediction. Because anyone punished by the Lord or killed by the Lord achieves liberation. So one may ask, why should a Vaishnava curse anyone? So it's not like Durvasa Muni cursing Ambarish Maharaj. He directly cursed him. But Srila Prabhupada went to his Lord and he left it up to him. So that's what I know about it. Giridhara Swami, I'm sure, has many details in his book. Further details. This is the first Calcutta Rath Yatra. Of course, it was the same day as the Puri Rath Yatra. But the residents of Calcutta had never seen Rath Yatra in their city. This is again Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. And they were just thrilled to see this procession with Lord Jagannath. And it's continued to this day. It's a huge, huge festival. That's Gurudas Prabhu on the right. And I forget the name of the devotee on the left. It's Jayapataka Swami on the left. Mani Bandar Prabhu in the front. And then another big festival in Hyderabad. Now, Hyderabad for 2 years had a drought. And after this program, there were big rains. Srila Prabhupada said it was due to the program that a rain came. And that was published in the newspaper. That due to the program, the drought was broken. And due to the Delhi program, actually, Prabhupada said that due to our program there, discourses in Harinam Sankirtan, that India won the war against Pakistan. So there were major events that came, you know, things that came of these large events. And at that time we had very, very few books. This was the Krishna trilogy in the yellow package. It's actually a case that three books fit in, paperback books. So many people would take the books, and there would be a line. Srila Prabhupada would be seated, and people would come up and ask him for his autograph in the book. So one after another, you know, so many people brought books up. And then one man was in line. He had his notebook. He didn't purchase a book. So he got to Srila Prabhupada, opened his notebook, and Prabhupada looked at it, and he looked at him, and he said, "No book, no autograph." Hare Krishna. So this is Giridhara Das Brahmachari, initiation time. This was the open-air temple that was built. Initially, the devotees, this is Hare Krishna land again, Mumbai. Initially, we had the deities in the hut with us. They were at one end of the hut, we were residing at the other end of the hut. It was a very, very austere time. The devotees were mostly sick. When they were overeating. Srila Prabhupada came in one time during breakfast and he looked at all of us and he said, "You're all overeating." But we were very happy to serve at that time. I remember this time as one of the happiest, in fact, probably the most happy time in Krishna consciousness, because Srila Prabhupada was there. He was always concerned about the property and the devotees here. This is initiation. Actually, Mr. Nair tried to demolish this very temple. He bribed at one point the city demolition squad to come and destroy the temple, because he claimed that we had done something wrong with the deed and this was actually his property. So they actually came one day and tried to destroy it. And one very brave Mataji, her name is Maiti Healy Dasi, she threw herself up against the wooden doors and refused to allow them to enter, because they were going to come in and break the deities. Can you imagine? This was a very stupid move by Mr. N, because actually the whole of Bombay, all sentiment turned toward us. We became the victims, and they were the bad guys. This is Haridas Prabhu getting initiation. Haridas has a very interesting story. He was actually given a Back to Godhead magazine in jail, and he was there because he was a thief in Bombay, on the Bombay streets. So he got that magazine. In jail, he saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada in the BTG, and Prabhupada had a nice gold watch on. So he was thinking, when I get out, I'm going to meet this person and steal his watch. So, and when he came to Hare Krishna land trying to find Prabhupada, he met Vishakha Devi and myself. And I had he was very interested in my cameras. He probably wanted to steal them also. So I showed him how to take pictures, and Vishakha gave him beads. So he stayed with us for some weeks, and he became purified. He gave up that desire. And he had a very strong desire to meet Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada came to Hyderabad, he left Bombay and took a train by himself to meet Prabhupada. So when he met Prabhupada, he told him his story, how he became a devotee, also how he wanted to steal his watch. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that, he took off his watch and gave it to him. Haridas said, no, Prabhupada, you don't have to do that. But today, Haridas is responsible for preaching Krishna consciousness on the airwaves, on television, worldwide. It's incredible what he's done. He's produced many, many programs, documentaries on the holy places, Krishna Katha classes, artis, and is broadcast on Star TV all over the world. This is the power of Krishna consciousness. Here we are at a second very big pandal a year later at Cross Maidan, the same grounds as the first one. Srila Prabhupada did something very amazing here. He gave a lecture one night, and then there was kirtan, and he got up off his vyasasan at one point, and he started circumambulating the deities. And he came around once with his hands folded. He came around twice, and the third time when he came around, he was dancing. And he motioned for the crowd to get up off their feet and also dance. And it wasn't a huge motion, but everybody got the point, and everybody rose up at once off their feet and started dancing. And it was just a mystical experience. You could certainly feel the sinful activities blow off the audience. Just like in the Nectar Devotion, we read that if one dances and claps in front of the deity, the birds of sinful activity fly away. So this is what we witnessed. Srila Prabhupada's incredible potency. Here we are, Mayapur, 1973, a year later. And the devotees at Shriva Sangam, this time there were hundreds of devotees who came to this second Mayapur festival. And we're having kirtan at the origin of the Sankirtan movement, the house of Srivas Thakur, where Harinam was first begun. A new sign. You can see the big temple in the background. And you can see devotees of different nationalities, as predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, dancing in kirtan. And by this time, the lotus building, the foundation was there and the structure was there, but there was no, as I remember, there were no enclosed rooms, so we were basically living in open-air rooms. I remember one huge storm blew through one day and scattered belongings everywhere. Srila Prabhupada's room was finished at this time, and here's the arti going on outside Srila Prabhupada's hut. This is Janani Vas Prabhu. He's still doing this service today. He and his brother Pankajanari Prabhu. These are the deities Radha Madhava. These deities were actually brought to the Hyderabad Pandal. And Srila Prabhupada asked, he didn't like that they were moved. He said once they're installed, they should stay in one place and never be moved. Here again is Pishima. and Srila Prabhupada in his rooms. He would often look out, Srila Kirti recalls, he would look out over the landscape and just be very relaxed in his room, and sometimes he would say, someday there will be a spiritual city that will come up here. And actually it's predicted in scripture, Janani Vas Prabhu speaks about this, that sometimes the places of pastimes of Mahaprabhu are covered and sometimes they're uncovered by the will of Mother Ganga. This is actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And at one point, the course of the Ganga will become steady. And at that time, many ghats will be built and many housing complexes will be built, many houses along the Ganga. And we're seeing that today, of course, in a very large scale. And it also describes the Adbhut Mandir, the wonderful temple that will arise. We were there at the last Mayapur festival, and the temple is going up very, very quickly. I think it was the most enlivening Mayapur festival I've been to in many, many years. And I think this is the reason for this was, one of the reasons was the temple going up. Very, very enlivening to see. And also there was the first Kirtan, Mayapur Kirtan Mela. So every day Srila Prabhupada would go on his morning walk and inspect the building as he came down. Srila Prabhupada would call these little paths between the rice fields highways. And here he's looking at the Goshala. He said, this is very auspicious that we have cows that are grazing on the property that will one day be the temple. This is very auspicious for the temple. There's Sarabi again on the left, Tumalkrishna Goswami on the far left, Sarabi next to him, Jayapataka Swami, and Ekanath Prabhu in the white hat. He's the head of the Bhaktivedanta archives. He's done such wonderful work in preserving everything that Srila Prabhupada left us. Then Bhavananda Prabhu on the right. I took some frames from the films just to show the Mayapur landscape because it's completely different today. And any direction you looked at this time, there were maybe some temples in the very far background. But this has all been built up. This was the godown. This was the other structure that was built. So at this time, there were three permanent structures: Srila Prabhupada's hut, the godown, and the lotus building. There's Prabhupada's hut. And actually, there's the deity hut also there, connected. This is Malati Devi. And devotees preparing, washing the grains for massive prasadam distribution. At that time, there were many, many hundreds of pilgrims who came. Today, it's still going on, but there are not nearly as many. And one reason is that the area has become very affluent because of the presence of the Western devotees and so much construction going on. Here Srila Prabhupada is giving diksha to a young Indian boy, pulling his sika. And this is Sridhar Swami sitting with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada at one point asked Sridhar Maharaj to become the president of Mayapur. They were quite close. And I remember being in the room, with Srila Prabhupada's room, with Sridhar Swami. And he actually had to be carried up to Prabhupada's room. He couldn't navigate the stairs. And then at some point there was a kirtan. I'm not sure how. I think he started it. Sridhar Swami started the kirtan. And at one point he just jumped up and started dancing. And then Prabhupada was dancing. There's some black and white pictures of that. Very, very joyous time. We mentioned before of Srila Prabhupada going to the Radha Govinda temple, and here he is at the temple where he worshipped as a child Radha Govinda deities. His friends and relatives invited him for an engagement. And it was very, very nice to see very aristocratic, upper-class Bengali families, the Malik family. And Srila Prabhupada spoke for a very long time. He spoke for an hour and a half. That was unusual. Actually, the Delhi Pandal programs, Srila Prabhupada, for some reason, he asked me to time his lectures. He wanted to know how long he spoke each night. And it was just about 45 minutes every time. Here he spoke for an hour and a half. And everybody was very, very attentive, very respectful, very attentive. This is in Calcutta, Radha Govinda Temple. And the deities. And some very far out neon lights. Every day in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada would take his morning walk either at the Victoria Memorial, which is here, some very beautiful gardens around that, or at the along the Hooghly, or the Ganga, that's the name of the Ganga, as she flows through Calcutta. And Srila Prabhupada would always be greeted by others on their morning walk. Again, people were very fascinated to hear about his preaching efforts. Sorry. Here's a group of gentlemen coming and paying respects. This is the Hooghly. And here we are in New York. This is the Prabhupada arriving at the airport. And this is 1973. And he was interviewed. At the time, there was an oil crisis going on. Very high gas prices. And Srila Prabhupada explained to the reporter that there must be restriction if we're not recognizing that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. So there must be restriction. And then he sat down and had in the airport and distributed prasad. This is Tulsi Ananda, Parikit Prabhu's boy. And he was one of the first children in ISKCON. Then Srila Prabhupada playing the gong. This is the time when we were asked to come back from India. Srila Prabhupada asked us to make a film on the movement. Actually, it was Karanda Prabhu's idea. He was the head of the BBT at the time. We had been sending photographs and films back to him. He liked the quality. And he asked us to make a film of the movement. So he asked Srila Prabhupada if that was okay, and Srila Prabhupada gave his permission. And it was very unusual. He gave $14,000 for the project from his book fund. Up to that time, all the money was being used to print books or build temples. So he took that $14,000 and bought camera equipment, 16-millimeter camera equipment, and some tickets around the world, and started filming. So these were some of the first films we shot, Srila Prabhupada's arrival. Here he's translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. We were filming him at this time. I think it was about 3 in the morning. And during the filming, Srila Kirti Prabhu's alarm clock went off. So you can hear it on the soundtrack. So we produced the first film in the movement called The Hare Krishna People. And that was premiered in Mayapur in 1974. Srila Prabhupada liked the film very much, and he asked us to produce more films. And he gave the instruction to distribute the film widely and from the profits make more films. Then I asked him if I could support our family on some of the profits. He said yes. So it was actually one of the first businesses in ISKCON. Actually, at that time, we didn't know how much to charge for the film. Should we give it away, or should we give it a cost price? We couldn't give it away. That was too expensive. But so Bali Mardan Prabhu, who was the president of the New York Temple, he suggested we charge the same amount as was being charged on the open market for a half-hour 16-millimeter film. At that time, films of that length went for $400. Which was a huge amount at that time for a 30-minute, I mean, a huge amount any time, especially that time. So we actually asked Srila Prabhupada if we should charge that. When he heard $400, he said, that is not very much. We were surprised. Surprised. Today, a half-hour video, how much? you can hardly get $10. So anyway, it wasn't that much. We actually charged that, and it wasn't that much because what the effect of this film was quite amazing, because many devotees were made from it, and many, I would say millions of dollars were made from collections all over the world, making life members and getting donations. We actually had an army of devotees all over the world going around with something called a Fairchild projector. It was a briefcase that opened up and a screen flopped up, and then a small film, a Super 8 film, would be projected on that screen. So people, just to see the technology, were amazed. These are the Radha Govinda deities that were worshipped at that Jaipur Pandal. Srila Prabhupada had a very unique way of playing the kartals. His thumbs would snap back. These are just beautiful stills from the films. I don't have a lot of commentary here. But I mentioned before last night that Srila Prabhupada was always very friendly with the children. He's always concerned about the children. Actually, he heard of one case of abuse in the Gurukul, and he said something. He said they should be expelled, but you know, something even stronger than that. But he was extremely upset when he heard that. You can see he's playing on his exit from the temple. He's taking a lot of time with Tulsi Ananda. Here we are at London Rath Yatra 1973. And Srila Prabhupada was in India at the time before the Rath Yatra, and he was ill. So there was the devotees from Australia invited him to come to Australia to rest and recuperate. And the devotees in London were inviting him for Rath Yatra. So he asked Shrutakirti to call the GBC, the senior members in India, devotees, and ask them their opinion. So they gave their opinion. I believe they thought that Srila Prabhupada should rest. But Shrutakirti, afterwards, Prabhupada asked his opinion. He said, well, you can either go to Australia and rest or go to London to preach. And, you know, he said, it's a wonderful opportunity for preaching. And Prabhupada said, yes, we shall go to London. And he did something very incredible here. He danced the whole way. He didn't sit on the cart at all. And everybody was stunned. Actually, he was causing such excitement among the devotees, being in their presence, that the bobbies came up to Shrutakirti. He said, get your master to sit down on his seat. So Shrutakirti, you know, finally asked, he didn't want to ask Prabhupada that, Anyway, he finally asked him. He said, the police are asking you to sit down on your seat, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada listened to him. He didn't reply. He just spun around and started dancing again with his arms raised. So Shrutakirti went down back to the bobbies and he said, he won't listen to me. You have to tell him. So they just dropped it. They forgot about it. In the film, there's one point where Prabhupada's jumping. Hansaduta in the back. There's one Indian lady on the right. And she was quite close to Prabhupada. She had one of many morning walks with him. I forget her name, unfortunately. This is when Prabhupada's dancing. And he walked, it took hours. He walked the whole way. And this is the crowd at Trafalgar Square. And we basically took over the streets and this, and once we got here, the whole Trafalgar Square. And at one point, one of the carts was getting a little bit out of control. So the bobbies noticed this, and they were very nervous about the safety of the people around it. So they approached one devotee, and they said, who's in control here? Who's in charge here? And he said, Krishna's in charge. So Prabhupada conquered London for the day. There's one story also in London previous to this. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in one of the parks, and he asked a devotee to go to a nearby tree and get some twigs to use as toothbrushes. So the devotee did that, but there was a park attendant who saw him. So the park attendant got very, very upset. And so the devotee came back. I'm not sure if he had the twigs or not, but Prabhupada saw the upset, and so Prabhupada remarked. He said, "These, you know, the British came to India and took so many things away, tried to destroy our culture, and here we're trying to take a few twigs, and they're complaining." So this was a huge festival. Actually, next year they didn't allow this festival to take place here because we had driven in steel spikes into the pavement, into Trafalgar Square, and caused some damage. But eventually we did have it here later. And in the newspaper it said that it reported that the Rath carts rivaled the height of Nelson Column. This is Nelson Column. And Srila Prabhupada actually repeated that statement in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Mahavishnu Das Brahmachari actually donated his uncle's inheritance to put on this festival. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that, and that's mentioned in the conversation books, Prabhupada's appreciation for that donation. Here the deity's being taken up on their altar, and here's a Bobby helping. They were helping Lady Subhadra. Actually, generally, the police who attend these festivals are very appreciative of the organization and the peaceful nature of these parades. I know that the police in New York had a very wonderful experience. The first Rath Yatra down Fifth Avenue in 1976. Actually, I think we'll show that live video tomorrow. There's usually a film of Srila Prabhupada Monday mornings. So tomorrow morning we'll show that Rath Yatra down Fifth Avenue. This was actually the 10th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON, practically to the month, 1976 summer. Srila Prabhupada was quite exhausted, actually, at the end. In the film, you can see him, when he's walking up to the Vyasasan, he's a little unsteady. Okay, that's all. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. All these films that these stills were taken from, can we have the lights, please? Are available in this DVD set called Following Srila Prabhupada. Most of you know about it, but that's available from Vishnumurti Prabhu. You have sets, right? Yeah. So it's available, and there's 335 devotees who speak in the DVD series. You'll learn a lot about Srila Prabhupada. So please consider taking one. Hare Krishna.